Welcome to the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast. I am your hostess, Natalie Ross. And for those of you who are new, welcome. Dream Freedom Beauty is a show that is intended to help you intuitives, empaths, and healers with owning your power and co-creative connection with nature and spirit. This week's guest is the amazing Sophia Rose of La Abeja Herbs, and I really enjoyed this conversation. It was, I just really had fun talking with her because she is so sensual, and I probably said sensual 1,000 times in the show, so you're about to get a dose of some sensuality as well. And I also want to say a huge thank you to our latest iTunes reviewers. Thank you, Denise, and thank you, Strawberry Moon, and thank you, Young. Thank you all so much for your reviews, and everyone else who's ever left a review on iTunes, thank you very much. And I also want to send a huge thank you and shout out to our latest Patreon supporters. Thank you, Jackie Dandelion. Love your name. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Daniela Angelini Crawford. And thank you, Amanda Breton. And Jennifer, I skipped your name, so it's Jennifer Noemi Galvin. Thank you. Thank you all so freaking much. It means the most to me to have your support in helping produce this show as my gift to you all. And if you would like to help support this show, you can go to patreon.com and look up Dream Freedom Beauty and contribute $1, $5, $10 a month, whatever you want. And I hope you all enjoy this show. Thank you all so much for listening. Welcome to the show, Sophia Rose. It's such a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you, Natalie. It's wonderful to talk with you.
So I hear you have something you'd like to share with us. You want to jump right in and get and share?
Sure. So I really appreciated the invitation to open the space with an invocation. And what came to me was actually that I wanted to share a song from my dear friend Rachel, who sings under the name The Lady of the Hearth and Forest. So this is a song that she put together and that has been really good medicine for me, and which I wanted to share with you now. Perfect. So I'll jump right in.
We are the weavers, we are the web, we are the flow, we are the ebb. We are the earth from which we are fed. Yes, we are the witches come back from the dead. Listen closely, can you hear the sound? Something's calling us from deep within the ground. Watching, waiting, singing in the night. If we keep on praying, then I think we'll be all right. 'Cause we are the weavers, we are the web. We are the flow, we are the ebb. We are the earth from which we are fed. Yes, we are the witches, we're coming back from the dead. Oh, I know my medicine and I know my land. Yes, I know the path that was written in my hand. Now I must be strong, so strong within my heart. If I want to change the world, well then I know right where to start. 'Cause we are the weavers, we are the web. We are the flow, we are the ebb. We are the earth from which we are fed. Yes, we are the witches, we're coming back from the dead. Listen closely, can you hear our song? We've been singing it for so very long. We sang it through the fire as our bodies burned, knowing we would rise back up. Yes, we will return. 'Cause we are the weavers, we are the web. We are the flow, we are the ebb. We are the earth from which we are fed. Yes, we are the witches, we're coming back from the dead. Time is but a spiral, and now the circle's cast. Old world magic, rise up from the ash. Now look me in the eyes and tell me if you hear those voices coming from the earth, for the time is drawing near. 'Cause we are the weavers, we are the web, we are the flow, we are the ebb. We are the earth from which we are fed. Yes, we are the witches and we're back from the dead. I said we are the witches and we're back from the dead. Yes, we are the witches and we're back from the dead.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, and I had a few more words I wanted to share as well, just as a prayer for us and for our listeners.
Please share.
So, in the words which follow, may you find the medicine and meaning that you need most in this moment. May you feel nourished by the fertile earth and guided by the wisdom of your ancestors. And most of all, may you remember how to listen to the silent song the whole world has always sung and always will. And in so doing, come to know in your heart of hearts that your own subtle song is needed now more than ever to complete the symphony.
Just let that sink in for everyone. Thank you, Sophia. And thank you, Rachel, Lady of the Hearth and Forest, for bringing that song to light. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this a first for you, singing on the air?
It is.
Yeah, that's so brave, and you have a gorgeous voice.
Thank you.
Wow. I'm like, I don't even know where to go from there. I feel like you just, this is who you are and why people, myself included, just adore you, is your sensual embodiment of life and your expression of that, your ability to bring that sensuality in its dark and light, its pain and pleasure, to the forefront to share with the world. So yeah, anyone who's listening who's not familiar with Sophia, she is La Abeja Herbs. She is a nomadic wild woman of the earth and stars and moon and cosmos. And so, Sophia, can you share with us where in the world you are right now and where you're calling home these days?
Yeah, I love that question. It gives me a wonderful invitation to actually locate myself in space. So I am in Portland, Oregon, and right now I'm in one of my favorite places. I'm in this little cob house in the backyard of the house that I'm staying in, and it's like the little hermitage of my dreams. Ooh. Like the cottage that you would imagine at the edge of the woods where like the witch lives. This is totally that cottage, and it's been a really amazing space for me to write and reflect and think about what is coming next. So I have been in the Pacific Northwest for the last 7 weeks or so. I got here in late June, and I've watched the seasons turn. Definitely arrived here like at the height of summer, which was amazing. All of the St. John's where it was blooming, all the yarrow was blooming. And now we have these fig trees that are just like raining figs. It's really amazing. So I can feel fall. I'm wearing a sweater. I'm wearing socks under my Birkenstocks. So it's starting to feel like the seasons are changing. And that's an amazing thing to witness in a different place than the place that I call home. I am from Austin, Texas. My family has lived there since the 60s. And my whole family lives there now. I currently live in Austin, although it seems strange to say that because I haven't been there in a while. But I am in deep relationship with my home there, and I'm looking forward to returning.
Very cool. Is it going to be hard to leave that Cobb house?
Yeah, it'll be hard to leave many things here. It was very hard to get me to leave my house in Austin. I was like a cat with its claws, like digging into the couch, you know, and making that face like, you really can't make me get up. And now that I'm here, I'm just sort of like, what house? Like, I live in Portland now.
It's because you're a nomad. The earth is your home.
A nomad and a double tourist. So like, once I am somewhere, I'm like, I'm here now.
You're rooted in. Uh-huh. Okay, so that explains why the picture of you that is shared with the world is just dripping with luscious beauty, because it's like, whoa, the way that you see the world, the way that you experience the world, and the way that you share it is all tinged with this incredible softness and sensuality that, you know, and I mentioned earlier, you don't just talk about the pleasure, you bring in the pain and the confusion too, but you still weave it all together so I just keep using the word sensual. Obviously I'm not the sensual right, I'm like, what word would you use? But so I'm just like, where do we jump in with this? I had all these amazing ideas, and then I'm like, wow, okay, they're not big enough for what you're carrying here. Like, let's look at, I want to know about your relationship with plants, actually, because I feel like a lot of what you share comes through your love of the earth and your love of plants. And I want to know how you first realized that you were connected with and hearing the plants.
So I lived in Colorado when I was in my early 20s. I lived in the mountains outside of Boulder, and I was going to herb school at that time. And the herb school I went to was wonderful, and it was very rooted in clinical practice, but it had a strong element of engaging plants as spiritual teachers. And I think that that was not something that I had expected when I stepped onto that path. Spirit definitely guided me to that path, and it wasn't even like I thought about going to herb school. I just knew that's what I had to do, and went very unquestioningly, and I'm so grateful for that guidance that I felt at that time in my life, and my ability to follow it. But when I was at that herb school, I had the opportunity to become basically the resident wildcrafter and medicine maker for the clinic there. And so it brought me into the mountains a lot to spend time with plants in a way that I probably wouldn't have otherwise, because I was actually engaged in harvesting large amounts of plants. And in order to do that, you have to develop an incredible sensitivity and ability to listen and to ask for permission and to be reciprocal. Because nothing is given without you giving something back. Mm-hmm. And when we take without giving back consciously, things fall apart in other ways that we may not connect with that taking. But I always try and give much more than I take in every relationship, and particularly with plants. So it, you know, working with plants changes you by necessity, because you must become generous to work with them in that way. And so when I was at that age, I really started to understand that plants exist in this much more subtle realm than most people are going about their lives inhabiting. And their invitation to join them there was irresistible. Working with, you know, I think different people connect to different aspects of the earth more powerfully than others. I have a lot of friends who work with stone medicine. And I think that that in many ways is like, it's very similar to working with plants. It involves this deep relationship and deep listening. And no matter, you know, other people like us work with animals and, you know, there's any number of mm-hmm. beings that you can engage with as teachers in this lifetime. But what they all require is that you move beyond the language of the mind and start to inhabit the language of the heart and of the spirit. And it is a subtle thing. And a lot of it involves coming fully to your senses. And I love that you actually keep using the word sensual and sensuous, because I think that like at its core, when you inhabit all of your senses, it comes across in this world as sensual, which it is, but not necessarily in the lens that we see it through as like sexual or erotic, but it is those things too. Like what is more erotic than a flower, you know, right. What is more erotic than a fruit? So working with plants at that young age in my early 20s was really my introduction to what it means to be in communication with a plant and to let a plant like basically engage your nervous system. And you do have to be very receptive and find that your body is a safe place to be in order to receive that information. And I think most people in this world, myself absolutely included, are walking around with some level of PTSD just from daily living in the modern world, as well as from like larger traumas that we may have endured at different points in our lives. And so I work with plants in my practice and with myself to find healing for those hurt parts of us so that we can come back into the body and we can be in relationship with plants.
Bam. Y'all heard it here. You just laid it out so well. Thank you. And yeah, sensual is, I mean, that's your embodiment. It's like, and it is that the senses being in your body being embodied, I think is one of the first kind of big challenges for intuitives and empaths in this world. As you said, we all are like walking around with this PTSD just from existing in this modern age, probably in any age, probably any time in history that we can remember. That's what it's been like. So, well, I would like to hear more about how you've come to feel that your body was a safe space to be. But before we do that, something came up when you were talking that was a question that maybe it's very nuanced and different, but I would just love to hear your response to it. And you said, you try to give much more than you take in any relationship. And I was wondering, what do you feel is the difference between taking and receiving? Is there one?
I think that you have just illuminated a very important part of my own unconsciousness. And maybe... you know, this part of me that does have trouble receiving. And I don't know if I have a clear answer for that right now, but that you pointing out my word choice definitely gives me some things to reflect on. And I am really working on receiving. Since I've been in Portland, I've been sitting a lot for a tea ceremony, and that's a fairly new practice in my life. And one of the things that I love watching arise when we are sharing bowls of silent tea is like when the person who's serving hands me the bowl and looks at me with such sincerity and such generosity and such love, really, like watching the things that arise within me that are not able to receive that.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, there's all of the, I can't remember who wrote it, who said it, Hafiz or Rumi, one of the great mystical romantic poets, devotional poets, you know, like your work is not to labor for love, but like to find the things in you that resist love, which I'm quoting poorly, but hopefully the message will come through.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And I'm sure many people can relate to that feeling. I know I can, because it was a very conscious and intentional journey that I took to feel worthy of receiving just for being me, and also worthy of giving the true gifts that I have to give and not the ones I thought I was supposed to give. And yeah, that journey. So what have you, yeah, right? Ah, receiving. Why is it so hard?
I want to sit with that for a minute. I look forward to listening to this interview and hearing that again.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to hear what comes up for you later, because this is a big topic, especially for women and femme identified people who are typically the givers and caretakers of the world, and people who are just giving, like we've been told to give. So what is receiving? And then something I find, actually this weaves right into being embodied, is the sensuality of being embodied is a gateway to receiving, because each of your senses is such a gift. So what insights or illuminations have you received in this time in Portland? What have you, or you know what? I also want to invite, because I think this is important for people on these kind of transformational journeys, is, you know what? You don't have to answer that. And maybe let's go back to a time, because sometimes when you're in the process of something, it's like, you know, it's like you don't want to go in moving things around until they've kind of settled and you can look at them and move them around. So what about going back to an earlier example of a time in your life when you were resisting something and you were able to notice that and move through that resistance? Can you tell us a story about that?
Yeah, let me sit with and clarify those words in my head for a moment.
Yeah.
I'm not sure anything is coming to me in this moment for that question. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. I love that. I mean, I also feel like, oh my God, why did we just like went into this place?
That song opens things up.
I think it's so.
Like, it's like, let's just get real. What's happening here? Like, we got work to do.
Yeah, for real. Well, actually, you know, reframed. That question reframed is, what was your experience? Were you always so sensually embodied, not just sensually in sexuality in a sense, but sensually in that way that you mentioned of being in your body, feeling your senses? Was that something you have always been connected with, or did you have to kind of relearn that or come back into your body?
I have to relearn that every day. Yeah. I have to, everything, just a little public service announcement. Everything I write, everything I put out in the world, I write it and I put it out there because it's my medicine and I need to hear it more than anyone else. So definitely since coming to Portland, it's been a challenging practice to stay in my body. Being back in Austin for the last 9 months since I have been, I feel like I have really created an amazingly safe and supportive structure for being in my body. And what that has looked like for me is literally having a home for the first time in about a decade, because like you said, I have been very nomadic. So having the sacred space that is only for me and that I can really like... it's a weird word, but like I can kind of code the space to hold me,
yeah,
psychically, so that when I'm there, I can really let go and relax and let down. And I think everyone needs some kind of sanctuary like that. And of course, a lot of people don't have access to the privilege of having like their own dedicated space. And so we do have to find other ways to create that. But that has been huge for me, having a home. And another thing is like extremely vigorous exercise has actually become a really important part of my magical practice and my embodiment practice. And I think that perhaps in the communities that you and I are a part of, that's like really overlooked. And I was not raised at all to be in my body. Like, I didn't do physical activity growing up. I was not encouraged to play sports. I was very much like, I was very creative, but not in a way that was embodied. Like, I did a lot of ceramics growing up, or a little bit of ceramics growing up, and a lot of creative things. But I think grounding those things in the body is what really gives them power and potency. And so in the last 9 months, I have learned that I love spinning classes and bar classes.
Awesome.
And that really helps me stay in my body. And I mean, in addition to, like, you know, more contemplative forms of exercise, like walking and hiking and yoga, of course. Yoga has been a big part of my life since I was a young teenager. So, you know, kind of I think sometimes people want these like esoteric practices to do to stay in their body. And I'm like, go for a run. and so I kind of like to joke that I'm like a boring herbalist, because I'm always like, how about some dandelion? Like, how about, like, what's growing right outside your door? How about you get extra sleep? Because it really is the most basic and foundational things that keep us in our bodies. And I kind of think that a lot of folks want something they can buy, or something that, like, is just going to fix it and they can keep doing what they've been doing. And that's not the way that I view the world or view healing.
Yeah. Yeah. Those simple things that are so easy to overlook or to dismiss can have such a profound effect. So you've been out there sweating it and feeling it. And really, I mean, that makes so much sense too. Just straight up looking at it, like, you're moving your body, it's helping you to be embodied.
And there are absolutely wonderful herbal allies for that as well. One of the ones that I work with a lot is hawthorn. I work with the berry, flower, leaf and thorn of the hawthorn tree. And I call it jokingly kind of like an etheric glue. It's one of the plants that really does help to call the spirit back to the body. And I use it a lot with people who do have, like, explicit symptoms of PTSD, as well as with kids who have, like, diagnosed ADHD, which is often just sort of like unresolved trauma or a need to move your body. So I use hawthorn a lot for that. And then, you know, different nervines depending on somebody's temperament and constitution and where they're at in their life. But another one that's really coming through right now that maybe someone out there needs to meet is motherwort. Motherwort is another really excellent herb for helping you to feel safe and held enough to be in your body and to, like, give yourself that inner mothering to come home to yourself.
I love motherwort. I have daily motherwort. It's like essential.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So how do you like to work with these herbs? Are you working with them in a traditional, like, making tinctures and medicines like that, or more of a spirit essence way, or a combination of all of this? Can you share what your approach is to allying with these plants?
I love that question. plants are really flexible, especially when you're working with them on more subtle spiritual levels. So I do, like, specifically the two that I mentioned, hawthorn and motherwort, I do make and sell tinctures of. I either grow or wildcraft those herbs, or, you know, partner with people who are growing them in a way I feel good about, and then I do tincture them. And I recommend what I call spirit doses, and that's the idea that, like, when you take a lower dose of a medicine, it has less of a physical effect and more of an effect on the heart and emotions and subtle body. So I do work with them in that way. I also work a lot with both of those herbs as talismans. One of the things that I do through La Abeja Herbs is I offer a kind of ceremony that's one-on-one, where I really drop in with someone and hear what's going on in their world and have a heart-to-heart and bring through whatever stones, plants, and other allies are really wanting to work with them. And then I partner with, I used to make all the medicine pouches myself and then realized that that was a major obstacle to actually doing it, because I'm not a leather worker, although I love working with leather. And so luckily I am now partnering with a really, really, really talented leather worker named Jacqueline DeSantis, who has a company called Hallow Talon.
She's amazing.
She really is amazing. And so I'm partnering with her now, but I'll use those in talismans a lot. And so that will mean me like going out and picking a leaf of motherwort for my garden or taking a hawthorn thorn, which, you know, depending on what the person needs, if they need more nourishment, I'll use the berries. If they need more protection and boundary, I'll use the thorns. So I work with plants in like any number of ways. It really is like, what is this person going to be receptive to? And, you know, what's available also. I really love working with baths as well. I think that taking plant baths is one of the easiest ways for people to connect with plant medicine, because it's like people already have such a positive association with baths and they become really receptive when they're in warm water. They feel safe. It's womb-like. It's familiar. And when you bring plant allies into that mix, they can really, really have a deep and long-lasting effect on that person. So one of the things that I have set up back in Austin right now that I'm really looking forward to returning to, and which has been a lifelong dream of mine, is that I have this beautiful outdoor clawfoot tub in my garden, and I am going to be offering herbal baths and ritual baths when I return, in partnership with my very good friend Vanessa, who's going to pour tea to open the space, and people will receive a flower essence as part of it. And so I work with plants in a lot of different ways. And like I said earlier in our conversation, I am clinically trained. And so I do come from this background that is very much like, you know, working to resolve physical symptoms through practical means. And I do that, but I find that it's been a process for me refining my medicine. And like you said, like letting the gifts that want to come through rather than what I think I should do actually come through. And I realize that there are plenty of clinical herbalists in the world who do what they do very well, and I don't have to do that. And so I do work more in subtle spiritual realms, in ceremony with people. And I do offer clinical sessions, which I call whole health coaching, but I do it very selectively because it takes a lot of energy for me to be in that linear space. And I love doing it when I step into it, but I just can't do it as much as I had perhaps put pressure on myself to do at one time.
Mm-hmm. Whatever the plane ticket would cost to go there would be worth it for a spirit plant ally bath in your sacred space.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, well, if you ever find yourself in Austin, I'd be honored to do that with you.
I would love to. That sounds awesome. Oh, wow. So yeah, it sounds like you approach plant medicine from this sort of full spectrum of being open to what's needing to come through and being willing to gift that forward to whoever you are assisting or seeking or being of service to.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you have a group of friends, you do different things with each friend, and each time you see that friend, you don't do the same thing. You kind of like check in. You're like, so what do you want to do today? Do you want to take a walk? Do you want to go out to dinner? Like it's the same thing with plants for me. I really just try and see how they want to work with that person.
It's a living, breathing relationship, and you acknowledge it as such rather than being just some plant description in a stale old book.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in some more of your own personal spiritual practices. And I mean, exercise is an amazing spiritual practice. I can also attest to that. I have a less vigorous, but also very important spirit exercise practice of power walking. But beyond that, what kind of practices do you have around working with either, you can talk about all of these or choose one, your ancestors, your spirit guides, making offerings, creating altars, and really creating that reciprocal relationship between you and the other world?
Wildcrafting is a huge part of my spiritual practice, actually, because like I said, working with plants by necessity, you have to step into a space of humility, mm-hmm. a space of listening, and a space of generosity. And to truly know plants, you have to know yourself. So, going into nature by myself is my main form of communion. And part of that for me is writing too. I don't know who this poet was, but I love this. She said that, like, she was someone who lived a very long time ago. And she would say that she would be walking through a field and a poem would come to her so quickly that she would have to sprint back to the house to get a pen, but so she could remember it. And I don't do that, but it is amazing how when you're in that still and quiet space in nature, like, there is just poetry floating all around you, and you just have to be quiet enough to hear it. So that is huge medicine for me, like writing from that space of connection to the natural world and connection to plants. And I think that making offerings is a part of that. As I was mentioning earlier, it's so important to create that reciprocity with whatever place you're creating connection with. And part of that for me is like going back to the same place over and over. I mentioned that I'm in Portland, and so I've definitely been exploring, but I've also been going back to this one specific place in Forest Park. And it's amazing what happens when you visit a place again and again, because it starts to recognize you and it starts to welcome you and it starts to feel safe with you. And that's when you can really have connection and communion and conversation with a place and receive what it wants to share with you. So returning.
Right, and again, in that sense of not just some one night stand with a place, but this like beautiful long relationship that unfolds through that repeated connection and getting to know one another.
Yeah. So my teacher, Paul Bergner, he had a practice of going and sitting in the exact same place in nature every day for, I think, like 10 years. And part of that was that he just had to witness and observe, and that he didn't pick any plants for something like 10 years. And that is a very, very amazing way to become an herbalist, because I think that in our culture right now, there is this instinct to feel like we have, have a right to things, and that we don't have to give back, that we don't have to listen. And I think that it is a beautiful discipline to just like really check in before you pick anything at all, even if it's like a dandelion, like, why am I doing this? Is this okay to do? And I'm very inspired by the way that he engaged with those teachings and did just spend so much time learning and observing.
And what a great representation of a medicine that is so potent for our times, of slowing down, of not having that immediate material gratification or whatever people are searching for, but just simply slowing down and allowing that to be a source of its own abundance. Like the gifts in slowing down have been so lost upon our breakneck speed of everyone's hustling to be the best, to be the first, to be the top, always, always, always more, more, more. But like, what about less? And that's something you actually write about too, is do less. And I love that, because that's how I've cultivated my own life too, is like I just did less and less and less. It's like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And just like, if sometimes things fell apart and sometimes they didn't. Have you always kind of done less, or is this something you had to cultivate for yourself as well on a bigger scale?
I'm literally shaking my head right now. You can't see me, but I'm shaking my head. Like I said before, what I write is what I need to read. And so in moments I do feel very connected to that ability to choose to do less, but my nature is to take on a lot. I have hundreds of formulas that I wish I could put out into the world through the Aveha herbs, and there's just, of course, like not enough hours in a day or time in a lifetime.
You just need an assistant. Let's call in an assistant who's willing to work in exchange for some mentoring, and there you go.
I have a wonderful assistant.
Okay, there you go. Oh my gosh, awesome.
Yeah, I've been working with a really wonderful assistant for quite a while now. I think that I wrote a thing called Do Less recently, and it was an invitation to do less, simply put. And the thing that I wrote following up was actually something about how to make choices, because if you're going to do less, you have to make choices.
Right.
And, we do make priorities in our life, and they are things that we have to set ourselves, and no one else can set them for us. As you said earlier, you had ideas about what you were supposed to offer, and it sounds like your life has become more and more wonderful the more that you let go of that and offer what you want to offer and what you feel called to offer. Mm-hmm. And so I actually feel very much in that process right now of making those choices and finding ways to do less. And part of that is having a lot of help with the Aveha herbs at this point. I do have, as I mentioned, a really wonderful assistant and apothecary manager named Lindsay, and I totally adore her. We have so much fun working together, and I just sing her praises all the time. I feel really grateful to have her in my life. And part of Do Less for me right now is using my time, resources, and energy and attention very skillfully, and also respecting the fact that, like, as a medicine maker, I use a lot of glass. I use a lot of fossil fuels for shipping, and lots of other resources, which I won't go into right now. But I've been wondering for a long time how to get more, how to be more effective, basically. And there's been a huge demand for my teaching, which I'm so honored by. But I'm a very introverted person. And I love teaching, but it really depletes me at times to hold that space. And so one of the things that I'm working on right now, which I'm talking about publicly for the first time right now, is a new project called Garden Party.
Oh, yeah.
And Garden Party is something that I've been gestating for a long time. I had been wanting to find a way to share more educational resources online in a way that would be effective and meaningful for people, and also feel regenerative to me as an individual. Because leading a plant walk every week or offering a class series, like, just kind of doesn't work for this period of my life. I would really love to be able to teach more in person, but I do need a lot of time alone, and that's where it all comes from.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's where all of the things that I'm sharing come from, is this deep time alone. And so it's kind of challenging to constantly be, like, out in the world if those are the things you're trying to bring through. So what Garden Party is for folks who are familiar with my work, I've been sending out a newsletter every new and full moon for the last 6 years.
Which is quite a feat.
Which I think is probably the most consistent thing I've ever done in my life.
And they're great.
Thank you so much. And what I started to realize is that that was what people were really enjoying. I think a lot of people have had very deep experiences with the medicines that I make and share, and I love making and sharing them, and those aren't going anywhere, thanks to Lindsay. But what I'm really feeling called to start offering is more herbal education online. And so Garden Party is going to be a platform for that. And what it is going to be is a monthly missive, not dissimilar from what I have been sending out, but it will also include a lot of fun things, like way more recipes, way more herbal how-tos, seasonal playlists, and videos, herbal education videos. And in addition to the monthly missive, you'll have access to a growing resource of, in addition to the monthly missive, you'll have access to a growing library of herbal resources. So, you know, if you're at home and you're like, man, there's all these, you know, there's all this mallow in my yard. I wonder what to do with all this mallow. I wonder how I can connect with it. I wonder what is mallow? Who is mallow? You can log into Garden Party and look up mallow and watch a video about it, or like find a recipe for what to do with it.
I wish this was up right now.
I wish it was too. I am working on it tirelessly. And then the thing that I'm also really excited about, because as I said, I am very introverted, but I love people. I love connection. I love community. And so Garden Party is also actually a garden party that's going to happen sporadically in different places. And it will be a time for plant folks to connect. I'll be inviting in other herbalists to come and share as well. And there'll be all kinds of like herbal libations and wildcrafted teas and like botanical foot soaks and just different fun things for people to engage with. And then, you know, you have to be a Garden Party member to join us. But I think it's going to be really, really fun. And I'm very excited about it. And it definitely is something that has taken on a life of its own, because I originally was basically just trying to figure out how I could offer more dedicated time and energy to creating herbal education online through La Abeja. Yeah, but I was laying in bed one day and Garden Party just sort of descended from somewhere, and I had to write it down immediately. And then that day it just took on a life of its own. And so I'm hoping to be launching that soon and having a party this fall.
Woohoo! Very cool. Congrats on this idea and its sprouting into form, ascending from that seed that was planted who knows when.
Thank
Very
you.
Fun. Garden Party. I'm picturing like, I don't know if you ever thought of this, maybe, but I'm picturing like a Martha Stewart for the nomadic wayward folks of the world. For like medicine Martha.
I like it.
Yeah. Like, you know what? Like loosen up a little bit. And actually, she's kind of a party animal, but we won't get into that here. So,
well, it really is this gift for me, because I love what I write and share through La Abeja, but I do think it has a very solemn and reverential tone, and that is one part of me. But I'm also, you know, I'm also a very like playful, funny, goofy, like, yeah, just everyone else, I have many parts. And so I'm excited to see the aspects of me that get to come out through this different channel.
Yeah. And I love the idea of the garden parties themselves, because I mean, things like your newsletter and like this podcast and all these amazing ways we connect in the digital world aren't as rooted as some of us might like. Like, there's that need mm-hmm. for us to gather as men and women and whomever, as humans, in love, in partnership, in healing ways, and in fun ways, in playful ways, in real life, to like be with each other. That's so potent. That is really powerful and very exciting.
Thank you. I really hope that you get to make it to a garden party one day, and perhaps we'll be able to do one in your part of the world.
Yeah, I'll start saving my pennies now.
Come for an herbal bath and a garden party.
That sounds awesome. especially when it's like the middle of winter and you're down in Austin, like, da 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 da, it's so nice out, you know. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Do you want to tell us more about Garden Party? I mean, is this something that has grown out of your own practices and things that you enjoy doing, or is this something that you have more been visioning of what you would like to do, or both?
It's both. I am always looking for how to become more subtle, more refined, more effective in what I'm trying to do. And my ultimate goal is to be someone who's able to connect people with plants and places, and to like really serve as a guide for folks who are wanting to create that relationship and might not know how, or maybe are already in relationship but want more novel and like fun ways, or just want to go deeper with it. And so I have been doing that through La Abeja Herbs for the last 5 years, through offering medicines that do bring you back into your body, that do help you to get more subtle. But it's sort of like the story of like giving a man a fish or teaching a man to fish. Yeah. And I would so much prefer that people start to cultivate their own relationships with the plants and the places that they live, instead of just reaching for an herbal preparation that somebody else has made. And do I want you to stop buying plant medicine from herbalists? Like, absolutely not. Those medicines help us to do that work, but they go hand in hand. And if you're just like taking 3 dropperfuls a day of a tincture of a plant that you can't even imagine what it looks like, I don't know for sure if you're getting the full benefit of its medicine. Mm. And so I see this hunger for herbal education. I think that I get so many emails and so much interest in, you know, like people wanting to do apprenticeships or, you know, asking if I'm offering classes. And I'm an Aquarius, and a lot of my astrology has been revealed to me or reflected to me that a lot of my astrology and my destiny has to do with like teaching through the technological sphere. And I think I'm starting to understand what that maybe means or looks like. And so I can teach a class to a group of 16 people, but how much more effective would it be for me and for folks who want to learn this information if I could teach the class, you know, in front of a camera, and then, you know, like 2,000 people could be able to watch it. So I think that's really one of the gifts of the time that we're living in, is that we do have this ability to share information in a way that is exponential compared to what we can do. And I mean, you know, it is a different kind of transmission, obviously, to sit with someone in person and to sit with a computer screen where someone's speaking into it. But I think that a lot can be brought through in that way as well. And that's where the garden parties come in, is I really do hope to have more of that face-to-face, heart-to-heart contact with people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. So I totally get it, because I'm also Aquarius with a Taurus rising and a Capricorn moon. And I'm like, okay, it's always been like, yes, tech. And I'm like, I am a tech fiend. So I totally get it with that sort of like, this is like the potential here. Mm-hmm. It's really fun, actually.
And I, you know, I've been really resistant to it for a long time, actually, because I just felt like that's not me. Like, I like doing things in very old ways.
Mm-hmm.
I like writing letters, and I like writing on typewriters.
Very sensual.
I like cooking over fires. but this is one of those moments in my life where I've had to be like, okay, well, like, how do you want to be most effective in your work and like make your own personal life work as well? So it's totally a leap. And I'm very excited for the journey that is ahead with Garden Party. And I hope that you will all be able to make it to a garden party. I would love to toast a little elderberry spritzer with each of you.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, it's interesting that for 6 years you've consistently put together a newsletter despite traveling and roaming and learning and transforming. What kept you going to keep doing that? Because I think a lot of people in this niche and in our sort of spiritual world struggle with that judgment of themselves as needing to be consistent, but yet and wanting to, but also feeling like they're totally not.
Mm-hmm. So what is the question?
The question in that was, what kept you going in that consistency? What helped you? Like, you know, were you coming at it from a, I gotta do this? Or was it like, oh, I have to do this because I love this? Or some of both? Like, what was that journey like? How did that consistency come about? If you look back on it now, what's the thread that kept it going? What's the fire that kept it going? Mm-hmm. Or the flow of water, whatever it was? What was it?
Definitely a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B, I think. Whenever I have tarot readings, the two cards that come up the most, like to represent the two parts of my psyche, are like the High Priestess.
I knew it.
And then the Knight of Wands.
Oh.
Or no, sorry, not the Knight of Wands.
Knight of
the
Swords.
High Priestess and the Knight of Swords.
Uh-huh.
If you can picture that card, you know, they're quite different. And so I think that's part of my gift and part of my challenge is that I do have a lot of ambition and a lot of drive and a lot of discipline, but I have to nurture myself with that silence and stillness in order to even like have anything that I feel is meaningful enough to share through something like a newsletter.
Right.
So as far as how I've been able to do that so consistently, that is a very good question. I think, you know, like so many people who are bringing through gifts that are beyond them, like I am just in service. I'm just in service. And there's a lot of energy that can come from that when you're not doing it for personal gain. You're offering something because you genuinely want other people to have it and because spirit is guiding you to do that. And so I think both things are true because I have certainly like sat at a coffee shop for like 4 hours until I just want to like go to sleep to write a newsletter, but it was coming from a very pure place within me at the same time. And so I am also looking though for more gentle ways to do those things on a regular basis. And part of that has been asking for help. And part of it is starting Garden Party because I just realized like, I love offering this. I want to keep offering this. And in some ways it's become unsustainable because of the amount of time and energy that it takes. And like really like wanting to make that resource as meaningful for people as possible, but recognizing that I have, you know, just as many hours in the day as everyone else. And I have to prioritize my time accordingly. And so by offering Garden Party is going to be super affordable. It's going to be a $13 a month membership. And you'll just have access to so much eventually, like, and it will be a building library because it will start out, you know, like the first missive will be sent out and then those things in that missive will go into the archives and people have access to them. But it has been a process of recognizing that that is something that I do put a lot of time, energy, and attention into and that I would like to receive something back from so that I can make it better, so yeah. that I can make it more effective for everyone else.
Right. And yeah. In that giving, you're innovating new ways for yourself and for the collective to both give and receive, which I think is, I don't know, I feel like that kind of comes full circle on where we started in this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, the song I sang at the beginning of our time, and thank you so much for that opportunity. It really does get right to the heart of what is happening in the communities that you and I think both move in. And the internet is a huge part of that, obviously. I think the internet, you know, this conversation brought to you by the internet. We're talking on Skype right now. And I think that there's a lot of like taboos around using the internet as a magical tool, but the internet and your phone are like extremely powerful magical tools and you have to use them very wisely and accordingly. And so basically by making Garden Party, I'm like trying to give these resources to people who want them and who need them and who'll benefit from them. So that ultimately like the earth will be benefiting from those people having that wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're here for. You just said it. You laid it out. Exactly. Mm. Well, thank you, Sophia. Where can people connect with you if they want to? I mean, I definitely recommend whether or not people are interested in Garden Party to, no matter what, go check out Sophia's newsletter, sign up and check. You'll receive it on the full moons and the new moons. And where can they do that? And how can they find you?
So you can sign up for our moon missives on our website, which is www.laabejaherbs.com. And it's under the contact section. It's quite easy and those will always be free. And I still have such a desire to share that content, like whether or not people have the ability to pay the $13 a month. So that will always be there.
Beautiful. And you're on Instagram as well, which is where I first came across you. And I was like, who is this magic woman? I must know more. And how can people reach you on there?
Also under La Abeja Herbs, which is LAABEJAHERBS.
I love that. And I love La Abeja is... Is it honeybee?
Mm-hmm.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, honeybee in Spanish.
So beautiful. Well, thank you, Sophia, so much for taking some time to come sit with us and to share and to really contemplate the questions I was asking you, because I know you really opened up this space with that song, and the directions that were coming were just like, go right into it. So thank you for being willing and able to just be here and share. So it's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie. It's been such a pleasure, and I've learned so much from our conversation.
Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope it was insightful for you. And I invite you to check out Sophia's offering, gardenparty.love. And if you want to hear more about her approach to working with wild and cultivated plants, then go check out dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret for the secret episode that we recorded just for your ears only. And I want to give a huge thank you again to our Patreon supporters and to all of those of you who have written amazing reviews on iTunes. I love hearing back from you, and just want to give a shout out to everyone who's in this little corner of the universe, because y'all are generating so much love and beauty, even as you do your shadow work and dip into your dark sides and bring it all to the light and dance in this crazy, crazy experience we call life. So blessings to you all. Stay on your path, stay in your truth, and I'll see you next week.